This podcast is brought to you by BitIRA, my affiliate partner. BitIRA leads the industry in helping consumers diversify their retirement accounts with cryptocurrency investments. Why BitIRA? Because they are among the most secure and compliant digital IRA solutions, guys, providers on the market. Their uncompromising commitment to security includes storing consumers' cryptocurrency in cold storage within grade V nuclear bunkers, protecting consumers' stored cryptocurrency with end-to-end insurance, complying proactively with regulations by using regulated exchanges and registering with the U.S. government. Every asset class carries its own set of advantages. The key is achieving your financial objectives and growing your wealth is understanding those advantages and learning to balance your investments across a range of appropriate asset classes suited to your unique situation. So per notice 2021 from the Internal Revenue Services, digital currencies are treated as personal properties for tax purposes, thus making them eligible to be held inside a digital IRA account. That means that any gains you accrue through your digital currency investments remain tax-free until you withdraw them from your retirement account as a distribution. And here's something else that many people don't know. If you sell your digital currencies within your IRA without taking a distribution, any gains that you may have made can be reinvested in other asset classes. In other words, your IRA does not need to remain entirely in digital assets to keep this tax deferred designation. The current cryptocurrencies you can actually invest in BitIRA are Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Chainlink, Ethereum, Ethereum Classic, Zcash, and Stellar Lumens. Welcome to the future. I'm BioChef T, and guys, click my BitIRA link, affiliate link, right in the description to learn more and get yourself a free guide on digital IRAs. Peace. What's up, guys? BioChef T here, and welcome back to VicTween. Thanks for joining me. I have a few news today. First, I'm going to cover a little bit of the crypto price action movement for the top 10 cryptos. After that, then I'm going to go into seven healthy trends that will probably healthy food trends that we'll probably see in 2022. Then I found this pretty interesting too. It's top 100 artificial intelligence startups. I am not going to list 100, but I'll list at least the top five. And lastly, there's two more articles I want to cover as well. And another one is going to be from American Scientist, Tumbling Microrobots for Future Medicine. I found that to be really interesting and fascinating and curious on how that's going to play out for the future of biomedical applications. And lastly, Charles Gasparino has an article up on the New York Post, if you haven't heard it already, about SEC case against Ripple Lab for XRP crypto sale, a bit of a double standard. Let's get into the news, guys. So cryptocurrency, currently top 10 cryptos, starting with Bitcoin, is currently at 50,310 in the 24-hour chart. It's up 2.62% right now in 24 hours. Ethereum, $4,166, and that is up in the 24-hour chart 3.08%. Then you have Binance Coin, that's at $572.03, and that's up about 1.53%. Tether, that's basically fiat to crypto to fiat, that's a dollar. So I'm gonna move on to the next one. Number five spot is Solana, and that's $174.73, and that's up 1.97%. Underneath that, number six is Cardano, ADA, That's at $1.36, and that's up 0.59%. Then next one, number seven, is USD coin, also USDC. That's a stable coin, so that's going to be roughly at $1.99 or whatever. In the eighth place is XRP, and that's at 84 cents, and that's up in the 24-hour chart at $1.16%, sorry. And number nine, Polydot. Polydot. Yes, I think I said that right. I don't know why I was thinking Polygon. Polydot? Polydot? I think that's how you say it. Forgive me, man, if I messed that up. But the ticker number is ticker letter is DOT dot. And that's at 29 cents. And 29 cents. It's not even at 29 cents. It's $29.83. And the 24-hour chart, it's up roughly at 6.94%. And lastly, we have Terra Luna, number 10, $62.13. Then that's up 4.75%. Wow. Got a little stuck on the dot. I don't know why. What happened? Let's move on. So today on today.com, they're talking about the new trends, the biggest trends that's going to be happening in the healthy food era. So the title is, this would be the biggest healthy food trends in 2022, according to a dietitian. And they list out a bunch of stuff. I think it's literally 10, right? No, seven. They list out seven stuff. So starting with number one, sober curiosity goes all in. This trend has been growing for a few years and has seen resurgence thanks to the super boozy pandemic, which drove alcohol intake to increase in wholesome levels. To help raise awareness around drinking too much, we've witnessed the rise of sober October and dry January. What's different about the newest non-alcoholic and zero proof offerings is that they will be crafted and feel just as indulgent as the real stuff, just without the hangover. So Elva Ramis, author of Zero Proof, 90 non-alcoholic recipes for mindful drinking, suggests that the new wave of sober curiosity stems from healthy conscious consumers who like to have lots of options. A lot of zero proof popularity comes from moderate drinkers who want to have healthy options but may still drink alcohol, and consumers love the ritual of a well-made drink but are aware of how much liquor they are having each week, says Ramirez. Excuse me. Folks who want to enjoy a warming beverage of cold winter nights might turn to a snifter of Nightcap from Three Spirit, a calming woody blend of maple syrup, hops, turnips, turmeric, and valerian root. Or maybe you'll like to put a booze-free spin on one of your favorite holiday recipes like bourbon cake or rum balls. Now you can actually have zero proof versions of vodka, rum, gin, and even tequila from Clean Co., a fast growing English brand with no defiant end to in sight of the pandemic. All uplifting options are welcome. Number two is bottoms up on functional drinks. So the pandemic has highlighted all interest in wellness overall, and beverages are a quick and easy way to infuse healthy ingredients into your day. That's why so many of us are popping open bottles and cans and functional beverages that promise benefits ranging from gut health to better sleep to happier outlook. Sales of functional foods and beverages grew 9.4% last year and are expected to climb higher in 2022 with people back at work and school. While sales of traditional soda have slumped, prebiotic sodas from brands like Poppy, Gist, and Olipop are bubbling up. These sparkling tonics come in a nostalgic flavors come in nostalgic flavors, including root beer, cola, and grape, and it offers up something many of us are missing out on: fiber. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Other functional beverages like fast growing Sunwink use adaptogens and herbs in their sparkling tonics to offer benefits such as immune support and stress relief. Pretty dope. Number three, reducitarianism. Plant-based options have exploded in recent years, which we've reported on before. What's new is that so many Americans want to buy and use those products, even though they're not going vegan. And the alternative meats are getting better, healthier, and more like the protein they are aiming to replace. We recently tried the jackfruit based nuggets from Jack and Ann's. I haven't tried that. That sounds interesting. I think I want to try it, which have a much more chicken-like consistency than the soy or wheat gluten options they had in the past. So in the coming years, you'll also see like pea protein nuggets from nowadays. The International Food Information Council, IFIC, recently found that a whopping 2/3 of Americans now reports eating plant-based meat alternative, while flexitarianism, eating mostly plants with the occasional inclusion of meats, eggs, and dairy, has been popular in recent years. Reducitarianism differs in that it focuses on the gradual reduction of consumption of animal products, and food brands will be delivering plenty of plant-based products to fill in those spaces. Look at new options in plant-based cheese, elevated hummus, boosted beans, and more. Number four, fruity vinegars. The use of original fruit vinegars, apple cider, as a health tonic has been an explosion in growth in recent years. Touted for helping to aid weight loss and stabilize blood sugar, ACV has shown up in beverages as well as gummy supplements and capsules. Now consumers are familiar with the concepts of using vinegar as an ingredient. We're seeing more fruity options on the market. Since one of the downsides of drinking straight ACV is the acid it contains can erode enamel on your teeth. Consumers have figured out other ways to incorporate vinegar into their diets, like adding them to salad dressings, smoothies, cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks. They add a bright, interesting note that whatever you add to them, and come in the bottles gorgeous enough to display on your kitchen counter. Some we like are the citrus forward parasol vinegar from Brightland and Acid Leagues mango jalapeno living vinegar. That sounds really interesting. Mango jalapeno vinegar. Wow, pretty interesting. Number five, South American flavors. So in 2020 forced us to become home cooks. 2021 has made us more creative with our newfound culinary skills, and the next cuisine we'll be tackling in South America. The Spice House has seen a 50% uptick in sales this year of their Haji Amario ground spice Haji Amario chilies. Add a medium heat, warmth, and fruitiness to, you know, your foods like ceviche, you know, stuff like that, which is typically served over, you know, like potatoes or even like boiled eggs or something. Less skilled chef can sprinkle it over scrambled eggs for elevated brunch. You'll find these orange peppers, which add a sunny yellow color of two foods in dried form, as well as can ground or as a paste. So just like TikTok introduced Americans to Birria Tacos. Social media is giving the same treatment of South American favorites like empanadas. Expected to see these handheld meat and veggie filled pantries at more restaurants and even meal kit delivery services like HelloFresh. Number six, food waste fighters. Love it. With the climate change movement finally gathering momentum, consumers are looking for actionable steps they can actually take that fight climate change while eating their afternoon snack. Food waste in this country accounts for equivalent of nearly 33 million cars worth of greenhouse gas emission, which is insane. New brands as well as established ones are putting the fight against food waste front and center in the coming year. So Too Good is adding a new line called Good Save that uses fruit that would have otherwise been discarded. The packaging will feature a seal that lets consumers know that the produce inside the cup would have been wasted had it not ended up in the yogurt. So upcycled sweet potatoes are a key ingredient of Spudis, a line of crunchy snacks, which saves about 15,000 ugly sweet potatoes with each truckload of their sweet potato puffs and fries. Rind Snacks, which sells dried fruit, I actually did something with Rind Snacks. Pretty dope company. I love what they're doing. I did a posting for them on my social handle. They focus on dried fruits, which the nutrient-rich skin and peel on saves over 120,000 pounds of edible fruit peels from going to the landfills last year, and plans to divert 1 million pounds next year. Of nearly 40 million tons of food that are wasted each year, fruits and vegetables make up 30% to 40%. By keeping the skins on their dry kiwis, watermelon and pears, Rind is making zero waste snacks. And newly launched Otherworld is another company that makes plant-based pancake and waffle mixes using cauliflower, beetroot, banana, apples, and more that would have been tossed on the landfill. I love how we were starting to repurpose pretty much scraps, right? A lot of people peel off the skins, you know. I love eating skins because of the fiber on the fruit. So, I mean, obviously depending on the fruit, you know, but you get what I'm saying. But the same thing with your veggies. So I love the repurposing and the creativity that's happening behind the scenes to decrease the carbon footprint, you know, in our country. So lastly, number seven here is brain supporting foods. New products from bars to powders are being offered to consumers with the promise of promoting a healthy brain. Today contribute Maria Shiver and son Patrick Schwarzenegger's new company Mosh has created a line of bars with brain supporting vitamins, adaptogens, and grass-fed protein. Some of the proceeds from the bar will be donated to the Women's Alzheimer's Movement, which is really nice, which Maria founded to help fund brain research on women who make up 2/3 of Alzheimer's patients. Schwarzenegger says that Mosh will expand the brand's portfolio in the coming years. Memoir, a powdered supplement developed at North Carolina Food Innovation Lab along with NC State University, utilizes the science and research behind the MIND diet, which has been shown to reduce Alzheimer's risk by as much as 54%. Memoir is made from plant-based ingredients with brain-supporting benefits, including blueberries, beets, spinach, and sweet potatoes. The idea is that since Americans aren't getting enough of these nutrients-packed foods into their daily diets, a powder which can be added to smoothies or stirred into glass of water is a more efficient way for us to get the benefits of these foods. An aging population means that Alzheimer's numbers will continue rising. So as people continue to age, they're starting to see these rises in Alzheimer's. The rises in numbers for Alzheimer's. And since this diet makes an impact, expect to see more brain foods on the horizon. So that's pretty much it. They listed out 7 here. Plenty of tasty and feel-good foods to help us reach our wellness goals in 2022. So it's really interesting to see where 2022 is going. I remember talking about something very similar to some of these foods in the beginning of this year, 2021, or it might have been 2020 going into 2021, what were like the expected trends we'll probably see going into 2021. And a lot of it we've seen, and a lot of it is going to be just rolled over into next year, it looks like. Let's move on. So, top 100 artificial intelligence startups to look out for in 20. This is a little bit old, so it lists 2021, but I think this is going to pretty much continue to evolve into 2022 because AI is becoming like a really big thing. They list out top 100. Wow, that's crazy. Number one is Etapas. I think that's how you say it. It was founded back in 2010. And the focus is AI trading software, automated AI software. It is a disrupted fintech company that offers an easy to access AI-based automated investment system to effectively help consumers grow their wealth regardless of their knowledge in trading. That's pretty cool. So Etapa's application is designed to work both for investors and non-investors who want to increase their wealth with a fully automated AI-based trading system that is easy to set up and requires no management. It democratizes the way investments are done by bringing sophisticated elite trading technology to laymen. Etapas uses the blend of artificial intelligence and machine learning to leverage next generation trading software that follows risk management principle. Pretty cool. Number two, Acrid. All of these names are super creative. I hope I'm pronouncing them correctly, and if I'm not, my apologies. The focus area for Acrid is artificial intelligence, deep learning, medical AI software. So Acrid is a health tech company. Oops, let me just zoom in here. Health tech company that offers an easy to access AI-based automated investment system to effectively, no, that's not it. I'm like double reading here, sorry. Number two is Acrid, is a health tech company that assists in radiologists to reduce their workload with the precision of artificial intelligence. Radiologists work under different circumstances and deadlines and might find diagnosis through x-rays a bit difficult. Therefore, Acrid has come up with a futuristic solution to help with accurate and fast image diagnostic. The company has made x-ray processing more convincing and simpler. Its signature product is CheXRAD, a deep learning algorithm that identifies location in the chest radiograph, has the capability to predict 15 different diseases, including COVID-19. Number three, Affable.ai. So Affable.ai focuses on influencer marketing, data-driven marketing solutions, and big data. Affable.ai is a data-driven influencer marketing platform where consumers can find relevant and authentic influencers, and manage marketing operation. By using cutting edge computer vision algorithms on social media posts, the company delivers actionable insights about micro influencers and their audience, similar to how Google has sophisticated its search and promote relative ads to users. So Fable.ai has also built one-click marketing at a short scale. Recently, the company has raised $2 million from Prime Ventures partners. So seems like a pretty dope product as well. Number four, Affirm. Affirm focuses on artificial intelligence, machine learning, and data science. If you are thinking of buying a new product or shop for a necessary dress or go out on a trip but has funding issues, then Affirm can help you with installment loans. So Affirm is a futuristic fintech company that offers loans to consumers at the point of sale. The company aims to revolutionize the banking industry to be more accountable and accessible to consumers. Affirm has partnered with over 2,000 merchants, including familiar brands across travel, personal fitness, electronics, apparel, and beauty, and more, to give shoppers a wide range of options. When the consumer check out, they can get a load facility for the company. So Affirm has closed a $500 million deal, it looks like. That's pretty interesting. So, wow. We are in the future, guys. Number five, AI Reverie is focused on artificial intelligence, big data, machine learning. Reverie is one of the few companies that are working with synthetic data to leverage privacy and preserving data applications. So it is an innovative platform that leverages data to train machine learning algorithms, train machine learning algorithms, which could eventually enhance machines' understanding of the world. The company offers a suite of synthetic data and visions APIs to help businesses across different industries to improve their AI application. As an overall move, the solution help in the creation of smart cities, sustainable farms, safer homes, etc. So AI Reverie has recently appointed Ayush Prakash, sorry if I kind of butchered that name a little bit, a former NVIDIA, deep learning expert, as the head of its machine learning team. Pretty cool. The headquarters of that is actually in New York. Wow. They have a lot of great stuff here in the tech world and what's happening. I'm going to leave all the links, as usual, guys, right in the podcast description. So please feel free to click those links. I'm going to move on, because I'm definitely not going to go over 100 of them. But the top five were really interesting, you have to say. Come on. The investing one, the first one, what was that one again? That was called Atapas. I think that's how you say it. I found that really cool, working with investors, that especially for those that don't have experience investing, AI is working with you and creating, helping you build your wealth. Pretty dope. I found this interesting on, on American Scientists, Tumbling Microrobots for Future Medicine. So robots smaller than a grain of sand could move through the body by tumbling end over end, opening up possibilities of intriguing biomedical applications. So one day, a visit to the hospital with a serious illness could end not with surgery or bottles of pills, but with an injection of a medical micro robots In the broadest sense, microrobots are simply microscopic scale automated machines. This is, designed to perform selective movements in response to specific stimuli. But there is a tiny size means that, but their tiny size mean that they could travel through the body to perform tasks that no conventional robot could do. For example, they might clean out arteries that are blocked with plaque and perform highly targeted tissue biopsies or treat cancerous tumors from the inside. I mean, this sounds freaking amazing. I haven't read the whole entire article. I'm not going to read it on the podcast, but I will after. But I came across this and I just thought it would be really interesting to share with you guys. And if you wanted to read further, you could check it out. But I'm actually curious on, does it live in you or does it break down? You know, what happens on that sort of molecular level, to this microscopic, you know, machine that's placed into your body. The fact that it helps with cancer tumors, I'm a cancer survivor, you know, I'm really fascinated how exactly that would actually target cancer. Really interesting. Similar in size of a living human cell, microrobots are far less likely to cause tissue damage than conventional medical intervention, such as surgical incisions and by aiming for a specific destination in the body, microrobots could drastically reduce the side effects of pharmaceuticals. So looking further ahead, once they can be manipulated accurately and repeatedly at the subcellular size range, microrobots could enable tissue engineering and regenerative medicine, whereby damaged tissues and organs could be repaired or entirely rebuilt. So medical engineers have been working towards these goals for more than 3 decades, but recent advances in the semiconductor fabrication techniques has spurred a surge in microscale and nanoscale research that is making viable medical microrobots look increasingly attainable. These advances are natural extensions of technologies developed for building microelectromechanical systems, MEMS devices. The application of MEMS devices have exploded since they were first commercially introduced in the 1990s. They can now be found in settings as automotive airbags, inkjet printers, optical switches, and blood pressure sensors. Yeah, it's a pretty lengthy article. Challenges of going small, you know, they get into that. They talk about micro tumbles, uses friction to grip on the surface and move forward. They can tumble off ledges and into valleys. Pretty interesting stuff. Again, the link is going to be in the podcast description if you wanted to read further. And lastly, I'm going to end here with this XRP lawsuit that's been going on for a few months already, and quite annoying and disgusting in a way on how you see some of these government agencies, especially the SEC, how they operate and treat retail investors. Anyhow, this is found in New York Post. Charles Gasparino has been covering the news around this topic of the XRP. There's a lot of like double standard happening. If you haven't caught up on the news, this would be a great way to kind of start. And there's some links there's a lot of links actually. This is actually a great way to kind of like catch up and understand what's going on with XRP. I think in the next few months, we should definitely hear some sort of like case decision on on XRP, and it's definitely looking bright for XRP and not looking bright for SEC at all. SEC case against Ripple Labs for XRP crypto sale, a bit of a double standard. So during the last week's snoozer of a congressional hearing on the 2.5 trillion crypto blockchain business, we got just a small glimpse into just how little the government knows about technology and that could transform the way we do business. A more complete picture of this utter flakiness in playing out the federal court in Lower Manhattan in the case titled Securities and Exchange Commission versus Ripple Labs. It will likely determine how much regulation there will be over the pretty much the entire crypto industry. And at the least so far, the SEC is demonstrating why it should be somewhere near policing something reasonable describing as the next internet. So the SEC case hinges on some of the alleged bad stuff done by Ripple. The SEC says Ripple executives sold an unregistered cryptocurrency called XRP to get rich and finance the build out of its blockchain like platform that transacts cross-border payments. The SEC says the Ripple sales were no different from the company selling the stock or bond and were illegal because they were registered with the commission. Ripple counters the SEC that the SEC is creating a legal double standard. The XRP sales were legal because the XRP is not that much different from other non-registered cryptos. Industry heavyweights such as Ether, also known as Ethereum, and Bitcoin. All the same, guys. All the same. But what makes it different is that XRP is more scalable, faster, and cheaper. That's a different topic right now, but just throwing it out there to let you know. If the creators of the first blockchain did not have to register their sales of Bitcoin, why should Ripple? Ditto for the dudes who created for the Ethereum. Just reading what they're saying here. The SEC seemed to officially declare Bitcoin and Ethereum Ether a compliant crypto in 2018 speech by Bill Hinman, the former head of the SEC Corporation Finance Division. Ripple's defense hinges in part of using Hinman's word against the commission. XRP was used in the same way the Ethereum people use Ether to finance the initial build-out of their platform. So what's the beef? This is where things get nonsensical on the part of SEC. The commission is now arguing that whatever Hinman said, his speech meant nothing. But apparently it did back then, but now it seems like there's a little bit of cover-up happening here. It's simply his opinion, nothing more. In the court, the SEC is telling the crypto world it really hasn't made an official ruling whether Bitcoin and Ethereum, Ether, comport with securities laws. End quote. I don't want to be overly technical, but there is no action that the SEC took to say Bitcoin is not a security. Ether is not a security, the SEC's lawyer said. So the words of the top officials reviewed by then SEC Chairman Jay Clayton doesn't reflect commission policy. Does that really mean SEC Chair Gary Gensler is going to track down the Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever he or she is, to do to Bitcoin what he's going to do to Ripple? So yeah, interesting. Yeah, really interesting stuff. There's a little bit more here. They get into the popular expansion of Gia's. Yeah. The SEC's declined to comment. Yeah, of course.
SEC is always the client to comment, because there's a lot of like funny business that's going on between behind the scenes, and all of it is on, crazy thing, all of it is online. You can actually see the double standard of videos of them saying the opposite of what they currently presenting. So anyway, the link is going to be in the podcast description if you guys want to read further. Hope you guys are doing well out there, having fun, enjoying your time around the holidays. And I hope this information was helpful for you guys, kind of keep you up to date on what's going on in the world. Anyhow, I'm BioChef T, guys. Thanks for joining me right here on VecTween. I'll catch you guys on the next one. I have a few interviews coming up. Pretty excited about. Can't wait to share it with you guys. So stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast and stay in touch. You can always follow me on my social handles. They're also linked in the podcast description at BioChef T. And I'll catch you guys later. Peace.